Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Jonah, will you please? Book of Jonah. The pastor has mentioned the fact of how long I was over there at Carlisle. It just took them that long to run me off. Now, I'm thankful that the situation was such that I could go back.
Amen.
I am. I'm grateful I can be here. I appreciate the invitation and the kindness of your pastor. I don't have to tell you anything about him. You know him. Right? You already know him. So what I would say, it would just be no need of it. But I'm thankful for churches that have a pastor that sticks to the word. Like I was telling the ones in the school this morning, a pastor back home, he says he's not a King James Bible only. He just has a Christian Bible. That says it, don't it? Just a Christian Bible. Appreciate you praying for my wife. She wanted to come, and you have no idea how much she wanted to come, but just wasn't possible. She tried to talk the doctor into it, but he seemed to think that the back seat of the car wasn't big enough to hold enough tanks of air for her to make it. So she couldn't make it, but she's praying for the service, praying for the preacher, and pastor talking about giving God the honor, the Lord. Anybody as ignorant as I am, he has to give it if it's anything ever done. And well, that's true for all of us, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I was thinking about something else for tonight, but yet the Lord seemed to lay this something on in regards to Jonah on my heart. I think one of the reasons for it was on a Wednesday night, and it's in 1956. There's a little building, just a few, maybe 15 or 20 people in it all together. Preacher there, name of James McKittrick, had been put out of a Southern Baptist church, and we was meeting there. And he preached on the book of Jonah that night, and he said God was looking for one man to preach. And I didn't know the message was for me, but it was.
Amen.
And that night, I told the Lord that I'd try to do it. About 2 years ago, this man went to be with the Lord, and his request was that I'd preach his funeral from the book of Jonah. And that means something special to me, you know. And so tonight, I'd like to use this, certainly not the way he preached it, because I'd never be able to do that. But God speaks my heart in regards to it. If you'll notice, it starts saying that now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Let's look to the Lord in prayer for a little bit. Father, again, we approach your throne because you said we could come boldly to the throne of grace. to get help. Tonight, Lord, we need you. We ask that you might somehow, by the power of the Holy Spirit, speak through me, to me, that Christ might be uplifted and glorified. Lord, that you might challenge our hearts again from the Word of God and have your way. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. It starts here, you'll notice it says the Lord, the word of the Lord came to Jonah and spoke to him. And I don't know, of course we do know the Bible wasn't written as we have it today. And so God spoke to people in somewhat of a different fashion, I'm sure. I don't know how it was, but it says that God spoke to him, didn't it?
Yes, it does.
And he said it. God said he was the same yesterday and today and forever.
Yes.
So I means then that he still speaks to people, don't it?
Yes.
Still speaks to people, and sometimes just points them out individually. That's what he did to Jonah, at least, because he said he didn't speak to his family and a group of people, just spoke to Jonah as an individual. And it's always amazing, isn't it, how God will take something and just speak to one individual in a whole group, a congregation this size. He'll just speak a special, I don't mean he wouldn't speak to other people too, but I mean in a very special way. It looks like sometimes he might not like it. He just pointed his finger at somebody and said, "I want you," don't it?
Yes.
Maybe somebody's already felt that way sometime. I know that's the way it was with me that night.
Yes.
And I thought, well, man, how in the world did he? Why did he call me a Jonah? Why did he speak to me? But the Bible here says that he spoke to Jonah. And this is what he said. He said, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." He said that Nineveh was wicked, a bad place. And that's the reason that he wanted Jonah to go and preach to him, wasn't it? Even Jesus said he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And it was a wicked city, and God wanted somebody to preach. Apparently, there was nobody there. It doesn't ever mention it, so we will have to assume that there was no gospel preacher in Nineveh. And I know years ago, when I was over in Carlisle, someone had made some type of a survey down in the southern part of the state here. And it said, I don't know how many cities, it's been too many years, I forgot how many, I know the population of them, but a good many of the towns and cities in the southern part of Indiana, southeast at least, without a real good gospel witness in them.
That's true. Yes.
Right.
In Indiana.
Yeah, right.
Now, I'd expect that in Virginia, but not in Indiana, you know. But there's still places that is not a real good, sound, fundamental gospel preaching churches in them.
That's right. Absolutely.
Sometimes people have to go a long ways to go to church, and that's discouraging.
Yeah, sure.
They need a church close by, and so God called Jonah and ask him about going. And we'll find here in verse 3 now, it says, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Now, some of us look like, I guess it would be a little difficult for us to understand why anyone saved, and I believe Jonah was saved, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I don't have any doubts on that. And I don't have any doubts on him being called of God. And you'd think, well, why would he do a thing like this? Why'd he take off to Tarsus? And commentators and all, I don't know how to correct they are, but they said that is a city of gold and silver and, you know, things, material things of the world. And was that what he was after? Why did he do this? When a man of God running from God, when he had a clear call, and I believe it was clear, don't you? Because he said he went from the presence of the Lord. And yet, I sometimes, I guess it's still that way. Some people that will just decide it to, no, Lord, I'm not going to do it. Now, there's various reasons sometimes that enters into that, why they say it. Some, I know, I remember so clearly a man over at Carlisle in church there in the Temple Baptist was called to preach. Said he was called to preach. Now, before that time, we had the WANA program in that church over there for 15 years, I think it was, or more. And he and his wife headed up their WANA program, did a great, wonderful job on it. And then I never forget it. One night, he came forward, and I talked to him. I said, John, why you come? He said, Pastor, God's called me to preach. I had a fit. I mean, I was thrilled to death. Had a fine wife, you know. But you know something? She said, if my husband preaches, I'm going to leave him. And she left him.
Shame on
him. He's not preaching. That is heartbreaking. You believe it?
Yes, it is.
People have different reasons. I understand why they may be not preaching when God has called them. But I'll tell you something. According to this book here, I can't think of anything if God's called a person to preach that they'd better off doing something else than preaching. He sure did have a hard go of it, didn't he?
Yes,
he sure did. And so it's just better to just go on and do what God said to do.
Yes,
he said to cry against Nineveh, that great city. I want you to notice something here, if you will, in verse 2, just a few words in it. It says, arise. And God told him, he said, just arise. Be ready. Is that right? And I was thinking about it this morning here in the chapel service, all of these fine young people. How many of you here tonight that have children in school? My, look at that. I tell you something. You ought to just turn into holiness or Pentecostal or something. I don't care. Just think about it. Somebody said they are our future church. They are our church now. And I'm so thankful for it. And I saw them here, the finest people, young people, they just behaved. Being taught, right?
Yes.
Being taught. I know you're thankful that you have a place you can send them to be taught like that. And I tell you, my oldest daughter, my youngest daughter is close enough to a Christian school. She's got her children in it. But my oldest daughter don't have in place that close. You know what she done? She's had children in the public school 2 years since they've been in Virginia. This year, you know what? She went teaching them at home.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the only thing she could do. Yeah. Got to lay aside some other things. But sometimes it costs. But I believe it'll pay off.
Yes,
it'll pay off. And but God told Jonah to arise. In other words, be ready. And he understood that. And Jonah answered properly. He said, And in verse 2, 3 it said, but Jonah arose. He did just started off doing what God said to do, didn't he? But God said, go to Nineveh. But this is where they part ways. And Jonah said that he was fleeing to Tarshish. And God said, cry against Nineveh. And Jonah's answer was to go from the presence of the Lord. And whenever a person refuses to do what God tells them to do, they go from the presence of the Lord.
Yes, they do.
Notice what it said. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I feel like that Jonah didn't maybe realize to the fullest extent that he was going from the presence of the Lord. Because you say, well, looked like he would have known it. Samson didn't know it, Pastor.
That's right.
He just got up and shook himself like he'd been doing it before, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And did he, didn't that what it said?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And he didn't even know that the power of God was gone from him.
That's right.
Why? Because he just did what he wasn't supposed to do. And the presence of God left him. Oh, can you imagine? I pray the presence of God never leave me. Don't you? Just think about it. Just imagine having the presence of God with you and then leave you. That might not be like not being saved, wouldn't it?
Amen.
To know that you've been in the presence of God and God has used you and God has spoke to you and then remove it.
Yeah.
But he did. He went from the presence of the Lord. God said, the wickedness of the city has come up before me. And without it saying it in here in that many words, but it seems to me as if Jonah said, that's all right, I'll pay the price. I'll pay the price. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. Found a ship going to Tarshish. You know, whenever you just turn just at least a little bit from the will of God, the devil will make a way for you.
Yes, amen.
Immediately.
Yes, he will.
Now, of all times, I just don't believe it was a ship on at deck there every day waiting to go to Tarshish. I believe it that the devil had it there ready, waiting for him. Because that's where he wanted to go.
Yep.
And there was a ship there, that's what it says, waiting to go. But you'll notice something. He went down. He went down. He rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. Found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare. I don't know. I wonder, and this is just supposition, grossology, whatever you want to call it. But I'm just thinking maybe that if he'd got a ship going to Nineveh, it'd have been free fare. But he had to pay for this one, didn't he?
Yes.
He had to pay, and it went down. And then he went down in the ship. I mean, he went just far down. Thought he was down as far as he could go. But he wasn't.
Amen.
He went farther yet, later on. Went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Just tried his very best to get as far from God as he could get. But he was saved. And the Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So he knew where he was, didn't he? He knew all about it, where he was. And so there's some things that Jonah didn't know. some things that he did know. He did know that he was saved. I believe that.
Right.
He knew that God had called him.
Yes, sir.
And here's something we each one of us, we need to take hold of. You know that you're saved, right? You better know it. As I'm under the impression that people that don't know they're saved, very, 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 very possibly not. He knew he was saved, and he knew that God had called him. Because it said so.
Yes, sir.
Said it, God spoke to him. Spoke to him. And he knew he had been called. And he knew where God had called him to.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And that's frightening, folk. Because I'm guilty here of doing this at times, knowing what God wanted me to do, and I want to do something else.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Have you ever done that?
Sure.
You're supposed to shake your head like this.
Sure.
Yep. Not only he knew where God had called him to, but he knew why God had called him. And that's where the rub lies. We go that far, know they're saved, know that God called them, know where God called them to, and know why he called them. I know when that night when God, I said I was going to preach, because God had called me. I knew that some 4 years before then, living on a farm, and the only way I could preach is preach to the horses. Of course, there's a good audience. They didn't mind standing. And I didn't get too much response either. But I had one brother living at that time. And he said, Floyd, I told him that God called me to preach. I was going to have to leave the old farm. He said, you're the biggest fool I've ever seen in my life. He said, you got it made here. He said, you're so backward. He said, you can't preach. You have to stand your back to the people. And not only that, but you don't have any education. That's obvious. And he said, what's wrong with you? I didn't know it. I didn't know enough about the Word of God at that time. But did you know he is telling the truth? God said we are fools for Christ's sake.
Amen.
And after I found out about it, I said, well, thank you, Lord. But he didn't understand that either. But he knew where God had called him to, knew when God called him, and he knew how God had called him. Now, he knew those things. Now, here are some of the things he didn't know. He didn't know how God would deal with him for his disobedience.
That's right.
Did he?
No, he didn't.
Didn't know that.
No, he didn't.
But after he had spent those 3 days and nights in that fish's tenderizer, he knew. Didn't he?
Amen.
He knew then. He knew then. Look at the last verses in that chapter, if you will. Now, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. That has been always a little bit interesting to me, for the fact it said God had prepared that fish. You know, people say that fish can't swallow a human being. But God can prepare one specially just for that, can't he?
Yes, sir.
I remember years ago hearing an evangelist preaching somewhat on the book of Jonah, and he said that he could just kindly imagine when they got ready, you know, to throw him overboard, said he could just see that fish down there like that. Said, all right, hurry up. I don't know about that, but anyhow, God prepared a fish, and it says here in verse 17, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. Notice it says his God. He knew then, didn't he? And he knew who to pray for and how to pray. He suddenly made a turnaround. But I tell you, I don't want that kind of a teaching, a lesson. That's a hard lesson, isn't it? That's bad. I mean, that is difficult. And I suppose, at least this is the only record we ever have of it, I suppose maybe he's the only one that ever happened to like that. But God deals with every individual in a particular way.
Yes, he does.
Like, how many people do you think ever climbed up in a sycamore tree to get saved? Not too many, is it?
No.
How many you suppose that God struck down on the road and made them blind to get them saved? I was telling them this morning in the school. A brother of mine had to practically make me go about 25 miles to a revival meeting to get saved. And then the man, what one word, just one phrase he used. I know I'd heard the gospel preached, the plan of salvation, how to be saved and all like that before then. No doubt I had. But he just made one statement. He said, young man, said, God loves you. And it broke my heart. I realized for the first time in my life that God loved me.
Amen.
I know he says he so loved the world. And I'm glad he said that. What was it said that Martin Luther said that he was glad he didn't say that he loved Martin Luther because he said it might be another Martin Luther.
Yeah. Amen.
And it didn't mean him.
Yeah.
So he said he loved the world. But he said, this man, he said, God loves you. And what has just overwhelmed me for years and years, when I come to the realization, I believe Jesus would have gone to the cross and died for just me. I can't take that in. And then called me to preach,
yeah.
Of all things. Called me to preach. But I know God can do it because Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. So if he can do him, he can do anybody, can't he?
Yeah.
So he didn't know what God was going to do for him. But now it says that down in chapter 3, if you look there, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying. Isn't that something? You know, we find another portion of scriptures that God said his callings are without repentance. God doesn't change his mind, does he? I hear people say, well, now, if you don't do it, God will get somebody else to do it. I don't believe God works that way. I believe God's got a job for me to do and a good job for you to do and a job for you to do. And God's called out somebody else to preach, somebody else to be a missionary, and if you don't get it done, it won't get done. And God knows how to get you to do it. Right? And Jonah found out the hard way. And God didn't change your message. Didn't change it. Look, see, it just might not word perfect, just like verbatim, like it was the first time. And he said in verse 2 of chapter 3, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." And of course, there was no hesitancy at all on Jonah that time. The whole city turned to God, and Jonah went out and pouted about it, had a pity party. But God was merciful to him. But what I'm thankful for is he gave him a second chance. And you? I didn't know any better that people talking about God. I think they misrepresented this, talking about getting saved over and over, you know, and God's second blessings and all. Well, I tell you something, I've had more than the second one. Amen. I mean, he blesses me every day. And not only that, but sometimes when we disobey, he is so merciful and kind and just kind of nudges you a little bit and says, "Now, do it anyhow, will you? Go on, do it." And I sure am glad he don't use a fish to do it with.
Amen.
But I was just thinking in regards to this evening that maybe God had called somebody.
Yeah.
Say, "I want you to preach. I want you to be a better witness for me. I want you to tell somebody about the Lord."
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
I just think about a man by the name of Steve Jenkins. He's a veteran. His sister married my nephew. Steve had cancer. Got into his brain. He's in Salem in the VA hospital. And I'd witnessed to Steve for years. And he just didn't want anything to do with the Lord, looked like. His sister came to me, said, "Floyd," she said, "would you go talk to Steve again about the Lord?" I said, "Well, Nancy, I've talked to him. He just turned me off. That's all." She said, "Well, maybe he won't do it this time. Would you go again?" "Well, what do you do?" I said, "Okay." So I took off up there. About 40 miles, went in, and it was one of those days that, you know, some of you know how cancers will do sometimes. Sometimes they know what's going on, other times they don't, look like. Well, this particular time, it looked like it is on a short wavelength or something other. And as I talked to him, he seemed to understand, told me he did. And I said, "Now, Steve, do you really, really understand me?" I said, "If you do," I said, "I don't want you to just reach over and shake my hand." I thought, "Well, make sure, you know." And you know what he did? He went and put his hand over on the other side of the bed. And I knew right then, not much need talking anymore, you know. And I felt so bad about it. So I come on back home, saw his sister Nancy again later on. She said, how'd Steve act? And I told her what took place. I said, there ain't no need going to talk to Steve no more. About a week or so later, she saw Nancy somewhere or another. She said, Floyd, said, I don't want Steve to die without being saved. Said, I believe if there's anybody he'd listen to, it'd be you. Would you go back and talk to him again? And I kind of felt like Jonah. I wanted to go to Tarshish. I didn't want to go to VA because I had to go up there so many times for myself. And I said, all right. I went back up there, talked to Steve. And it was a little different, but nothing really happened. So later on, I went back again. And I said, Steve, do you understand me? Yeah. It seemed to be just as clear as a crystal. I said, Nancy asked me to come up here and talk to you again. I said, as far as I know and from what you said, you're not saved, are you? And he said, no, I'm not. I said, would you like to be saved? He said, I would. Amen. And asked the Lord to save him. I started out to hospital. I met another preacher of another church, good ways from there. One of his cousins had been going to that church, and unbeknown to me, I didn't know anything about it, they had been praying for Steve. Praying for him. Did you hear that? You remember when Peter was in jail and said that the church had been praying for Peter? It wasn't praying for the prisoners in jail. It was praying for Peter. Individually.
Yes.
And so they had been praying for Steve and sent the pastor up there to talk to him. He didn't know him. He never met him, see. And I met him out in the hall. And he said, we spoke to one another. You know, I knew him. And he said, I come up here to see Steve Jenkins. Do you know him? I said, yes, sir, I know him. I said, come right on in the room in here. I'll introduce you to him. And went in, and I told him, I said, this is Steve Jenkins, the pastor here. And Steve was laying there, tears running down his cheeks, you know. And I said, tell the pastor what you just done. He said, I asked Jesus to save me. You know something? About 6 weeks ago, I preached his funeral.
Yes.
I sure am glad I went back.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad God gave me another chance.
Yes.
Even though I was rebellious. And you know, sometimes God does that. Sometimes the lesson is really hard. Jonah's was.
Yes, it was.
But I sure am glad he preached to Nineveh, because it turned to God, didn't it? Whether he wanted to or not.
Right.
You know, God told Jeremiah and Ezekiel, some of the others, he said, go and preach to my people. He said, they won't listen.
Yeah.
They won't listen. I don't know how I would react if God spoke to me and told me to take a church pastor somewhere or another, and I said, you go on pastor now, but they're not going to listen to you. That'd be rough, wouldn't it? He never has told me about nobody like that. Has he you? Then we better just go on and do it then, hadn't we?
Yes.